Welcome to Sunday School. I don't know all of you by name, but my name is Joel. I'm glad to see so many here, and I hope you want to sing. We have a few minutes to sing together, so I'd like to sing from the back of our hymn sheet, all right? I'm looking for favorites off the back, or even an action song that we know by heart, all right? So who has one to start us off? I saw a hand over here. Josh. Can you find one on the back? On the back of our hymn sheet. There we go. Number 40. Let's do number 40. Jesus loves me. From a girl. Okay. What number? Excellent. Wide, wide is the ocean. Let's get some participation from our children, okay? Wide. Just bow our heads and ask the Lord for His help, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, we come before Thee this morning. We're thankful for this Lord's Day and for this time to spend with the children. We ask for Thy blessing on our time together. We thank Thee for each one that's here. And we just pray for their salvation. We pray that while they are young, they may come to know Thee as their personal Savior, and that they would live lives for Thine honor and glory. We just pray for help as we continue this hour with the singing and the verses that they've learned. Pray that they would pay attention to and the message to be given shortly. We just ask for Thy help and blessing on this time, asking in Thy precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. How about another boy? Do we have a boy with a favorite? Yes, Brennan. All right. This is the Lord's Army. Some of us know it. Hopefully we can all pick up on it. All right. We can stand up if you want. I may never march in. Thank you. All right. How about a girl? Any of our girls? Okay. Down at the very end. Number 46. Glad tidings. All right. Let's sing this with the girl's part and the boy's part. Think we can do that? Glad number 30. Oh, let's stay on the back page. You have another one there? Number 47. Very good. When he cometh, some of you learned a verse today, and I want to take a couple volunteers. The verse is found in Psalm 86. Is that correct? Is that what you learned? Psalm 86, 7 maybe? A couple heads shaking, yes. Anyone else learn that verse? Psalm 86, 7? It goes like this. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Who here learned that verse? I'm looking for a volunteer who didn't give out a song. Alana, would you like to say it first for us? All right. Nice and loud. Psalm.
Psalm.
86.
7.
In the day.
In the day. My trouble. Oh, call upon thee.
For thou
wilt answer me. Psalm 86:7.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else want to say the verse? Would you like to say it, Vienna? Okay. Nice and loud.
Psalm 86:7.
In the day
of our trouble, I go for call upon thee.
For thou
wilt answer me.
Psalm 86:7. Very good. Thank you. How about over on this side? Would someone else like to say it? Anyone else? No? Not interested? How about another favorite? Another over here? All right. We'll have Savannah.
Psalm 86:7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, and thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86:7.
Very good. Thank you. Would you like to say it? Anyone else? Maybe you learned a different verse. Did you learn a different verse? Oh, here we go. Would you like to say it? Thank you.
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86:7.
Very good. Thank you. How about one more volunteer? One of these boys has to show up. There we go.
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Psalm 86:7.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Now, we have a couple minutes. We can sing a couple more favorites, and then we have a message for you children, all right? So who else has a favorite to sing? Okay, Alana? Running Over? All right, perfect. We know that one. A lot of the little kids know that one, too. Running Over. Do you have one down here, a favorite, Caitlin? Do you have one on the back of the hymn sheet? Do you have a favorite here on the back? Do you like that one, Little Child of Seven? That's what you're thinking of? Okay, we know that one. It's number 42. A little child of heaven, or even three or four, may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For when the heart maybe another favorite. Who hasn't given one out? I think you already gave one out, right? We have another one? Yes. Number 44. Thank you. All right, we'll sing all three verses because I really like this song. Into the tent where I
God, we could just ask for his help, okay? Our God and Father, we just thank thee for the boys and girls that are here this morning. And our Father, I just would pray that will help them to hear and understand this morning. That each one here, the young people, the adults, that all of our hearts would hear and understand thy word, and that we would be able to apply it to our lives. Our God and Father, we just thank thee for the Lord Jesus who died to save us, so this message that we've been just singing about, that little boy received, could be given out so we could go to heaven. We just thank thee for this, and we just ask for thy help in this next little time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'd like to tell a little story this morning. You know, I like stories, and I'm not a very good storyteller, but I do like listening to stories, especially stories from the Bible. And I like learning new things about the stories, too. You know, when my children were a little bit younger, they used to ask me to tell them Bible stories they didn't know. And I would try and do that, and you know, sometimes I ran out of stories. And it was an exercise to me to try and find new stories that they had never heard before. So this morning I want to talk about a story that I didn't even really know very well up until a couple of months ago. And I hope you can understand it a little bit. Because there's a lot of details in it, but I think you can get the gist of it. This story is in the book of Jeremiah. Does anybody tell me what book in the Bible, or what part of the Bible Jeremiah is in? Tom, what part of the Bible is Jeremiah in? New Testament or Old Testament? Old Testament, that's right. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. And the chapter that I'd like to talk about is in Jeremiah chapter 24. And it relates a little bit to some things that two people talked about yesterday. So Mr. Ruga talked about people in the Bible who lived in the light of a different day. They realized something was coming, and that's what they lived for. And then last night, Paul House talked about the last king of Israel in the southern part, so in Judah. Can anybody tell me, now this is a hard question, who the last king of Judah was before the captivity? That's a hard question. You know, I asked the young people that about a month ago, and not very many of them knew the answer to that either. But that's who we're going to talk a little bit more about, the details of that story. Zedekiah was who Paul talked about last night. He was the last king before the captivity, or there was two captivities, which we'll talk a little bit about. He was the last king, and he was not a very good king. But Paul talked about last night how God gave him a chance. And if he had obeyed, Jerusalem would have been saved. But he didn't. He disobeyed. So this story relates, because it happens during the reign of that king. And I want to give you some background, because, you know, we live in a sad time in both the U.S.'s history and Canada's history. They've turned their back on God. They don't want God in the schools. They don't want you praying to Him. They don't want you talking about Him. They've rejected God's design for family. You know, it is a very sad time. And as Paul said last night, and it's very true, this world has crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to save us. And because of that, there's judgment coming. And both Paul and Tim spoke about judgment. And you know, this story that I'm telling about is a sad story because it has to do with a time when there was judgment coming to Israel. So I'm going to give you a bit of a history. It was spoken by Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet during the last five kings of Israel. He started preaching when he was young. God said to him, he said, You say what I want you to say, and I'll look after you. That's what it says that in the first chapter of Jeremiah. And he started in the middle of Josiah's reign. You know, it was a wonderful time. It was a time when people... I shouldn't say that. Josiah became king when he was 8 years old. How old are you? 8 years old. He became king when he was your age. You know that? But he became king at a very sad time in Israel's history. His grandfather killed so many children that it says that they filled Jerusalem from end to end with blood. And because of that, God pronounced judgment on Judah that could not be escaped. His grandfather's name Manasseh. You know, the nice thing about Manasseh is he did turn to the Lord at the end of his life. That's one of my boys' favorite stories. And he had a son named Amon, and he was a terrible king. But Josiah came at 8 years old, which is the age of many of you children. He came to the throne, and you know, he was different. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. He wanted to please the Lord. And they were fixing up the temple, and they found this book. The Old Testament, part of it. And they read that book, and do you know what he found written in that book? That they had been so bad that God would have to punish them. That's what he found. And he was very sad about that, so he sent to the college. You know, we're in a college. And there's a lady at the college who told him what God was going to do. And God said that, I'm not going to punish you because you followed me. It's going to be in your son's time. And you know, it was in the middle of that reign. It was a wonderful reign, actually. God delayed punishing Israel. He was king for 31 years up until he was from when he was 8 years old until he was 39. And the most wonderful Passover, you know, we're going to remember the Lord after this meeting that ever occurred from the very beginning of the kings happened during his reign. It was a wonderful time. The end of his reign, he was a little bit stubborn. And he went to fight a king that he shouldn't have. And you know, he died. So Jeremiah was preaching through his reign. And you know, Jeremiah was very sad when that king died. Why was he sad, Jordan? What was going to happen during this man's son's reign? There's going to be what? Punishment from God for what they had done. And Jeremiah, it says that he mourned. He was sad. It says that in Kings. And you know, sometimes Bible stories are like puzzles. And we learn a little bit more every time. And you know, this story that we're going to be talking about actually happens in a whole bunch of different books. At least four times that I know of. It happens last chapter of 2 Chronicles, last chapter of 2 Kings, end of Jeremiah and throughout Jeremiah. You get a little bit of an Ezekiel, Daniel, and Esther. And you know, I want to fill in a couple of details that are really neat in that story. So, Josiah died and his son comes to the throne. And actually three of his sons, and I'm not going to go into the details of that, but one of them was a man named Jehoiakim, and he was a wicked king. So do you think Jeremiah was happy preaching during the time of that wicked king? Think Jeremiah liked preaching? No. You know, one time Jeremiah was told to write out a story about how they were going to be punished, and he sent a man named Barak to read it to the king. What do you think the king did? Anybody want to guess? What do you think the king did?
He quoted his son.
He threw it in the fire. It burned it. Is that a good thing to do? No. He didn't like the fact that judgment was coming. And you know, when we're young, we don't like the fact that judgment is coming to this world. And you know, all of these kings were young. Josiah was 8. The three other kings were 21, 23, 25. And, you know, and Jeconiah was 18. You know, they were all young. And when we're young, we don't like hearing about judgment coming. But judgment is coming to this world. And that's a very sad thing to realize. Well, getting on with the story. So, this king, he burned that roll. And you know what? He was so wicked, God said, none of your children are going to sit on the throne in Israel because you've been so bad. Is that a nice thing to hear? None of your children are going to be kings and queens? The king? That's not a nice thing to hear, is it? So what happened to the promise to Abraham? What happened to the promise to David? Was it all over? This is where this story starts that I want to read today. And it's about Jeremiah. He was sad when all of this happened. There had just been a captivity. This bad king was in power, and he was taken away captive, and his son came to the throne, and he was taken away captive, and Jeremiah was sad because of all the bad things that were happening. And then the Lord speaks to Jeremiah. So let's just read this story in Jeremiah 24. It says, "Then the Lord showed me, behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, and the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad." So this is like a little piece of a puzzle. There was a basket, two baskets, basket one, basket two. And Jeremiah goes before the Lord, temple of the Lord, and the Lord says to him, he says, "What's in the baskets?" He says, "One basket has good figs in it, and the other basket has bad figs. Would you want to eat those, Tom? These ones? No. These are dates. They're not actually figs." But the Lord tells him who the figs are. So let's read who the Lord tells him the figs are. It says, "The Lord said unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, good figs, very good, and evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good." So there's a surprise. God told Jeremiah, he said, "I actually allowed those children to be taken captive to do them good." That seems funny. This is the new part of the story that I hadn't realized before. God had allowed them to be taken captive to do them good. Paul mentioned last night that God always makes a way of escape. You know, there's judgment coming to this world, but there is a way of escape if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. So the Lord had allowed those first captives to be taken captive, and they were the good figs. Good figs. There was the king, Jeconiah. He actually had three names. Jehoiakim, Jeconiah. Kaniah, Jeconias. There's several different names for him. You know, there was other people who were taken captive. And the Lord did that deliberately for their blessing. It says, "Whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. I will set my eyes upon them for good. I will bring them again into this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They shall be my people. I will be their God. They shall return unto me with their whole heart." That was the good figs. The bad figs were who Jeremiah talked about, Paul talked about last night. "And even as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in the land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all the places where I will drive them. And I will send the sword and famine and pestilence among them until they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers." Two figs. Good figs, bad figs. The good figs were the ones who submitted to the Lord. The bad figs were the ones who rebelled against the Lord. Paul read last night in Kings, and it says there, when Nebuchadnezzar, he had to come down at least two times, maybe three times, that Jeconiah, or Jehoiakim, he actually went out with his mother and the servants to be taken captive. But it says at the end of that chapter that Zedekiah rebelled. They didn't like the judgment that was coming. Do you like the judgment that's coming in this world? I don't think any of us do, but you know, if we submit ourselves to it, the Lord can bring blessing. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit about. You know, the Lord brought blessing as a result of submitting. You know, if we ask the Lord to forgive our sins, there's tremendous blessing that comes from that. You know, I'm going to tell you a few stories that come from this. These stories are like little puzzle pieces, as I said earlier. This is one of the puzzle pieces. Then a few weeks ago, we were reading in our family, reading in Esther. And it says in the second chapter of Esther, it says that Mordecai was one of the good things. Did Mordecai bring blessing to Israel? Can you tell me, Daniel? Mordecai in the book of Esther, did he bring blessing to Israel? He did, didn't he? The Lord used him to bring blessing to Israel. And you know, in the book of Daniel, Daniel was taken captive. Might have been a little bit earlier than Jehoiakim. But he was taken captive. Did Daniel bring blessing to Israel? Tom? Daniel? He did. And his three friends, you remember the story? Daniel and the lion's head? Sort of ties the stories together a little bit, eh? The Lord brought blessing from this first group of captives that were taken. I just want to read a couple more verses, and this is a verse that we hear read many times about the Lord bringing blessing in our lives, and this is in Jeremiah 29. And notice the timing. I'm just going to read the timing, Jeremiah 29, verse 2. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. The timing of this. What does it say later on? It says, the Lord gives them special instruction. He had taken them captive. He says to them, he says, down in verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and daughters, that they may bear sons and daughters, seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. And then he says in verse 10, it says, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word unto you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. So the Lord had taken those, Daniel and Mordecai, or some of his family, captive, and this king and others, and he took them captive so that he could bring blessing. But Zedekiah, who was left behind and had the opportunity to turn to the Lord, rejected the Lord. And Paul read the sad end of him last night where his boys were killed in front of his eyes and then his eyes were put out. You know, I hope that every boy and girl in this room is willing to submit to the Lord like these people did. You know, judgment is coming on this world. We don't know when, but it's going to be soon. We don't like thinking about that often because we're young. But you know, if we submit to the Lord, there's blessing. There's real blessing that can come from that. You know, one of the other pieces of the puzzle that I enjoyed recently, if you read in Matthew, and this is maybe for the older ones, it was said that nobody would sit on the throne of this of the king Jehoiakim, who was the second last king, because he had been so bad and he burned the roll, it's in the same chapter. But if you read in Matthew, when it gives the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, it says that after the captivity, Jehoiakim, who is his son and the one who, even though he was evil, submitted, that you continue with the lineage of the Lord. And we know that although that was the lineage of Joseph, and Joseph wasn't the biological father of the Lord, but the legal father of the Lord, still the Lord was able to bring blessing to all of us in this room through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord took something impossible and made it beautiful. He took something absolutely, I don't know how anybody could have figured that out, but He turned it beautiful. And you know, here we have the story of judgment coming on Israel. All of these five last kings were bad. Jeremiah was sad, and the Lord says, look, I got some good figs. I got some good figs. These are the ones who've submitted to me. I'm going to bring blessing from these. I hope that you boys and girls have submitted to the Lord, and that the Lord can bring blessing in your lives because of it. He brought tremendous blessing through that. You know, none of us here would be able to sit here if that story hadn't have happened. Jesus came and He was born, and they killed Him. Now, there's judgment coming to this world because they crucified the Lord. They don't like hearing that, but it is. It's coming. You know, I just want to read a verse in Acts. It's a little bit like the good figs and the bad figs that we have up here. Acts chapter 17. This is Paul at Athens. And he is reminding them that God is going to have to judge this world. It says in verse 30, Acts 17, verse 30, at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, just listen to the responses when people heard about this and the resurrection. It says, some mocked, others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. And then later in verse 34 it says, certain men clave unto Him. There's three types of people there. We had two types of figs, the good figs and the bad figs. But here, there was ones who just mocked and said, ah, that's not going to happen. There are other ones that said, well, listen later. And then there was those who believed. You know, boys and girls, I hope you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus, because what's ahead of us, if we do that, is wonderful. And you know, sometimes the things around us make us not think about the things that are ahead. And sometimes when we're young, just like these kings were young, they didn't want to hear about the judgment coming. They'll say, well, just wait till later, wait till later. You know, if you read the details of that story that Paul talked about last night about Zedekiah, he knew what he was supposed to do, but peer pressure basically and not trusting the Lord kept him from doing it. I hope that's not the case with any of the boys and girls here this morning, that that's keeping you from turning to the Lord. All it takes is to say, yes, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I deserve the judgment of God. Thank You, Lord, for washing my sins away. And really believing that in your heart. And then what happens is we have a hope before us of God. This world is going to come into punishment. You know, those captives were actually taken out before some of the punishment happened to Israel. God is going to come, the Lord is going to give a shout and call the believers away before this world is 7 years of judgment. Last night Tim was talking about 8 years from now, the Lord could come back. You know, if you put your trust in the Lord, you'll be spared all of the punishment that's coming on this world. I hope you boys and girls have done that. Well, our time is almost up. I know that's a long story. And there's a lot of details in that story, but you know, I've really come to appreciate those details by reading through the stories and trying to figure out exactly what they mean. Those kings, from Josiah, who was the first king, to his son Jehoiakim, who was such a wicked king and didn't want to hear about judgment coming, to his son, which was Jehoiakim, who he was evil, but he did go out and submitted to the judgment, to Zedekiah, who turned his back completely on the Lord, and to Jeremiah, who had to preach through all of that what was coming. You know, I hope none of us here, and there's a tremendous tendency, you know, you go on the internet right now and you can watch the neatest videos and the coolest pictures and the neatest stories, but you know, a lot of it is really just fluffy stuff. But the reality is that God has appointed a day that He's going to judge this world. And that's what we should be thinking about. If we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we have a wonderful future ahead of us. Just like the Lord brought blessing to this group of good figs, He can bring blessing in our lives if we submit to Him. Well, maybe we can just pray. Our God and Father, just thank Thee for the boys and girls who are here. Father, just pray that even if there's one or two little details of this story, that they would be able to put it in their heart, that they would recognize that they're sinners and put their trust in Thee and be like those that believed. Lord, we acknowledge that there is judgment coming to this world because of the sin around us. But we also just praise Thee, Lord Jesus, for the future ahead of us that is far more grand than anything we can imagine. Just pray, Lord, that we would anoint our eyes with eyes of, that we'd really be able to see and understand and live these things. And not only that, Lord, but that we'd be able to teach it to our children. And Lord, just would pray that our hearts would recognize Thy heart of love that is always seeking to bless and make a way of deliverance. We just ask this and we just would pray that if there's a young heart here this morning that's not saved, they would accept Thee. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.